This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
8 o'clock hours, we try to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. And Cowboys 49ers Sunday night on this radio station. Babe Laufenberg will join us to preview that at 8:40. Nick Eatman, 9:20. Tomorrow, Mike Tirico at 9 a.m. Right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline, the voice of the Dallas Mavericks, Chuck Cooperstein, to preview the season opener tonight against the San Antonio Spurs on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Good morning, Chuck. How you doing?
Haven't you guys changed the name of your show to the Hellraisers yet?
I mean, come on, man. Yahoo's Chuck.
Your voice of God needs some work, man. He's got to get that changed.
Did you hear that play out live or just the aftermath?
No, I heard some of it. I was actually flying back from L.A. And I actually heard some of it in the airport while I was waiting to get home. It was quite something.
And did you think that a season preview would be happening with this very show or someone else?
No, I had faith in the people above you. They'd take care of you.
Okay. Chuck, your excitement level this offseason in anticipation of tonight, when's the last time it's been this high? If this has been much higher than years past?
I think coming out of the finals in 2006, I mean, it was pretty much off the charts because people, I think, rightly felt that the series was taken from the Mavericks and that, 2007 would be the retribution year. Of course, that year started slowly. The Mavericks went 0-4 to start the year and then won 67 games, and then we won't talk about what happened after that. But coming into that season, there was that feeling that this team is really, really good. They're championship level good, and let's see if they can get there. And I think that's where we're at right now. The difference here is that this team actually went about improving an area that they were lacking, which was outside shooting, by bringing in Klay Thompson. And we'll see how it all plays out. I'm watching the Celtics the other night make 29 threes. I don't know that the Mavericks are going to have a game where they make 29 threes, but they're going to have a bunch of games where they make a bunch of them. And really, in a lot of ways, you look back at the finals, and that was the difference in the series. The Mavericks' defense was fine in the series, but they couldn't score. All four losses, they scored fewer than 100 points. And if you had told me that Luka and Kyrie would be part of an offense that couldn't score 100 points in the game, I would have told you you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Well, it happened. So they went about changing that. And, it's not just Klay, but it's also, Quentin Grimes is an excellent outside shooter. Najee Marshall had a career year shooting threes last year. We'll see if that was an outlier, if that actually is something that is translatable to his new team. And if all of that comes together, this team, certainly on offense, is going to be hell on wheels.
Chuck, what have been your preseason and offseason observations of Klay?
He's incredibly professional, incredibly precise. I mean, I had the pleasure of watching him just go through about the day of his introduction in Dallas in July. He immediately got on the practice court with PJ Washington and went through a 40-minute session. And in a lot of ways, it was like watching Dirk, just how he went about his drills and his footwork and, coming off screens and how he was going to do all this stuff. It was incredibly impressive to me. And I think, I think that is him, but I also think, he is a guy who's somewhat sensitive, and I think he was very much hurt by how things ended at Golden State. I don't think he ever really wanted to leave Golden State, but he kind of knew he had to, and he was going to try to pick a place that he felt he could contribute to winning. And as he has said repeatedly, watching the finals, he saw a Mavericks team that, in his mind, he could take to another level. And I can't wait to see him try to do that.
If 2015 Clay or 2016 Clay was a 10 out of 10, you know, from his standpoint, that was his prime, offensively and defensively, where is he now?
I mean, I think he's at least a 7, you know, maybe better than that. I mean, I don't expect him to be great defensively every night, but I think he, kind of like Luka, I mean, I think they understand the concept of team defense and where they're supposed to be, you know, on the floor at all times to make the defense the best it can possibly be. And his shooting is still absolutely elite. Look, he shot 39% last year from three. That's the worst season he's had in his career, for crying out loud. And he's especially good in the corners, and the Mavericks generate more corner threes than any team in the league, and he makes them at a much higher rate than what was being made last year. There's just, to me, certainly in the short term, there is no downside to this at all.
Can the Mavericks have a successful season that doesn't involve a Western Conference Finals appearance?
That's a great question, RJ. And I mean, I guess it all, and I guess they do come out every now and then.
Every now and then.
I guess it all depends on perspective. I think it would be hard for a lot of us to accept that they wouldn't get back in being in the conference finals. Having said that, I mean, I'm looking at the Western Conference, and I'm seeing everyone, really, with the exception of Portland and maybe Utah, when Danny Ainge decides he wants to start tanking, as it's a war every night. And, I mean, I'm looking at tonight, and I know San Antonio's probably not going to make the playoffs, but I still know they've got Chris Paul and Harrison Barnes on their team this year, and they are going to be significantly better, much more professional on the floor, and that's going to make Wembanyama that much better and that much more of a load for the Mavericks and anybody else to handle. I mean, anytime you're going to play them, it's going to be a pain, and, you know, let alone anything else. I mean, if you look at the Clippers last night, I mean, I don't know that the Clippers are really good. I mean, they got a strange-looking team, but obviously they gave Phoenix, a team that several people believe is a dark horse to win the conference and even get to the finals. It gave them everything they want. Probably should have won the game if James Harden would have made a free throw.
Chuck Cooperstein, the voice of the Mavericks, joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. So, Chuck, one of the narratives we were talking about last year during the Oklahoma City series, it felt like everybody was kind of saying, the Thunder have to learn how to lose. Like this is their time to learn how to lose. They'll become, you know, tested through this, and they'll be a better team for it next year. Do you think Dallas went through any of that process similarly with the Boston series last year? Do you think they learned things about, okay, this was something that's not as much depressing for them as it is, you know, instructional, and they were able to learn certain things from it?
Absolutely. Look what they did in the offseason. Look how they addressed their deficiencies in the offseason. You know, they knew they didn't shoot the ball well enough and couldn't generate enough three-pointers and make enough three-pointers. So they took care of that. They know they've got to be, you know, a solid defensive team, which they certainly were from the middle of March all the way through June. And even though they lost Derrick Jones, who I think was a very underrated part of what they did, Clay and Najee Marshall, who played, they play differently now. They play defense differently than Derrick Jones, long, athletic, you know, jump through the roof and all that kind of stuff. You know, but they knew they couldn't let him go without addressing that. So they went ahead and addressed that. And then, you know, whatever internal improvement comes from people like Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford and P.J. Washington, I think they understood exactly, you know, where they fell short. And knowing that they've got to had to take care of that. Now, what's going to be interesting is, let's face it now, everybody wants to talk about April and May and June, but there are 82 games to play. And everybody's got to walk through this before they get to the really fun stuff. And that's hard for these guys because they know how exciting last spring was. And it's even harder for fans who, you know, don't want to have to go through, in many cases for them, the drudgery of, you know, playing the Utah Jazz on a Monday night in October.
Chuck, Derek Lively is my favorite player. I love his spirit. I love his leadership. In what ways can he take a leap this year?
I mean, just being smarter about the game. I mean, he's already pretty smart about the game, but just the more you see, the it's the old Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000, do it 10,000 times, and that's how you get to be really good at it. I mean, it's the same thing with Lively. Now, you know, he's got to be able to do that. I think we've seen some stuff already in the preseason with his offense, his back to the basket. With his ability to, you know, shoot with both hands, right and left. He definitely is going to take a few threes this year, other than the one that he made in the NBA Finals in Game 4. We're going to see, I think, occasionally that. It's not going to be a regular part of his game, I don't believe. But I think you will see that from time to time. I think his free throw shooting is going to get significantly better. He's really worked hard on that with the Mavericks assistant, Sean Sweeney. And, you know, he shot 50.6% last year from the line. You know, he's got to be up in the 65 to 70% range. And he should, because his form is pretty good. So there are a lot of things that he can do. And the best thing, frankly, for him is that he doesn't have to be stretched out because of the presence of Daniel Gafford. I mean, they're going to play big pretty much for 48 minutes. And that is a luxury that very few teams in this league have.
Did you see any of that at Duke, this offensive game?
Very little. They did very little with him. Remember, he didn't have a double-double in college, and I don't think he ever scored more than 13 points in a game. And remember last year on opening night against San Antonio, he had 16 and 10 against Wembanyama. But no, it wasn't there. And remember, at Duke, he was hurt. He got hurt at the beginning of the year and really didn't get back until the end of January. And when he got back, that's when they took off and they won 13 of the last 16. And, you know, that they got knocked out by Tennessee when they did, RJ, made them, you know, I know you do. I mean, look, that was a game that Duke was the higher seed. They were expected to win the game. They didn't win the game. But, I mean, they probably should have been a second weekend team, and I don't think they would have been had he not come back and did, you know, what he did, even if his numbers were overly modest.
Voice of the Mavs, Chuck Cooperstein here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. I'm asking every Mavs person this. After he got ejected in the finals, Luka was very tame. He wasn't his usual confrontational referee self. Are we going to start off this season getting regular emotional Luka or more tame Luka, in your opinion?
Great question. I want to believe, because we all learn from our mistakes, that he will be a tamer version of himself, not that he will be such that he will never get a technical foul. But I really do believe this. If he does tone it down and say he winds up with 7 or 8 technical fouls during the year instead of scratching 16 in the limit for being suspended, given how he plays, even if his numbers aren't as explosive as last year's, you know, nearly 34 points, nearly 10 rebounds and nine assists. If he does that and tones it down and this team wins, you know, somewhere between 53 and 55 games, I think he's an MVP. I think people are waiting to see that from him. I think people, voters, not necessarily Maverick fans. I mean, although I do think some Maverick fans are tired of it, but I do think voters are waiting to see what does he add to his game to make him better. Now, from a physical standpoint, I don't know what else he can add because he's got the entire bag. But what I do think he can add is that emotional component of being under control and leading his team to big things.
Your Bronny storyline interest level was what the other night?
Nice. It was, nice moment, nice to look at, but should we be devoting hours on top of hours on top of hours to it? No, but this is what we do, I guess.
You want to ask him about Embiid?
I thought you were going to something else. What is your take on the Embiid skipping back-to-backs? Because I thought the NBA tried to cut this out last year with the 65-game minimums or whatever.
Well, and also, if you're playing back-to-back with the national TV games, too. I don't know where this sits, and I don't know where he is. I mean, his summer was very bizarre, playing for the U.S. At the Olympics. He really played quite poorly most of the summer, except for the game against Serbia in the semifinals, where, you know, with all due respect to Curry and LeBron and how they played in the fourth quarter, I'm not sure they win that game if Embiid doesn't play as well as he played. But having said that, I mean, I think it's a scary situation for the league, they have these guidelines. It looks like the Sixers, again, from the outside, it seems like they're really flaunting them pretty hard. But in the end, it could wind up really hurting them because, you know what? The top eight of the East is really good, okay? I mean, the East is not as good as the West. I mean, you've got some really bad teams in the East that, over time, that is going to be played out. It's one of those things like if people see Embiid come back, not play against Milwaukee, but then come and play against Detroit and go for 35 and 15, like people are going to be upset. People are going to be really upset to see that. So I don't know how that plays out, but I'm not nearly as high on Philadelphia as a lot of people are in the league. Embiid, you can't trust him because you don't know when he's going to be on the floor. And Paul George, to me, he just does really weird stuff on the floor in really big games. And I just, I would not have paid him what he was paid.
Chuck, you're obviously obsessed with the rest of the league starting yesterday. Give us a surprise. What's one of your surprise opinions in the West or with a player breaking out or someone not being as good as you think? You already mentioned Philly. Give us some other Cooperstein observations heading into the year or predictions.
I know Zach Edey got into foul trouble last night, but I think he's going to be really good. And Utah, I mentioned them earlier. I'm really curious to see if Danny Ainge will pull the plug on them again because they've got players. And it looks like, especially in the middle with Walker Kessler, it looks like he's taken a big step forward. I mean, you've already got an all-star in Markkanen. You've got some young guards that are really pretty good scorers. And I think Utah is going to be really entertaining. And I think going to, at least for a while, make things interesting. But, does Danny ultimately pull the plug on that? And in the East, I'm curious to see about Miami. Only because I think Eric Spoelstra is an incredible coach, but I don't know if he can pull a rabbit out of a hat with this one. Just not sure, and it certainly didn't start well for him last night.
Chuck, thank you so much as always. Have a great call tonight, start of the season, and we'll be in touch. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you guys. Take care. Chuck. Go raise hell.
The Hellraisers. Always. Chuck Cooperstein, voice of the Mavericks on the D&M Leasing Hotline. The Texas rumors are already starting, and Vince Young and Barry Switzer, SEC legends, RJ with a college football kegger, then Babe Laufenberg after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
But to give that guy credit until the end of time, the way Kurt Cignetti is just absolutely rolling in Indiana, and they continue to do it, and they've got a relatively manageable schedule, so good on you, Coach. The rumors, though, Sean Sharif.
Uh-oh. I'm here, too.
It's already starting. Should Arch Manning start versus Vandy? There, and now he's not going to. And they've already announced that. But, and I wonder, and this is what the people are speculating about. College football coaches don't do news conferences every day like they do in the NFL. They do like one early in the week and then one on like Friday before the game.
Don't have to deal with tours either.
No, they do not. Sark was not asked a single question about Arch Manning. His name did not come up. And people are wondering, did they like say, hey, don't ask about Arch? Or
Jerry controls them too.
Jerry controls them too, or what? Because that didn't make a whole lot of sense. Because if you think about it, I mean, he literally played in the game 2 days prior. How do you not ask about him?
Yeah.
But people are wondering, you know, how long is the leash now on Quinn Ewers? Because Sark did himself. He opened up that box.
Yes.
He opened. Was it the right move? You can make that argument, whatever. But he opened up that box, and it's not like he burned a red shirt, but he opened up the box for sure.
I mean, did he open a box if nobody even asked about it?
That's like, true. That's a good point.
It's something where I think a lot of people felt like, I think most people put it within the context of they got to do something because they're not protecting. They need somebody a little more mobile. And like Sean had mentioned, the fact that they came back out in the second half with Quinn pretty much kills it to me.
Yeah.
I think it was clearly just a... It felt very much like, hey, Quinn, take a seat, catch your breath, let's reevaluate some stuff here, get Arch in there a little more mobile just to finish out the half. And I still wonder if he's a little hurt.
Pepe, what do you think, semi-Longhorn fan?
See, at the beginning of the year, I was all Ewers. I was like, nope, it's his team, his offense. He was there last year, got them to the playoff, let him go. But, man, that was such a bad performance against Georgia. And Georgia's defense is good. I mean, I give it to him. They're really, really good. So you can't take much from that. But, I mean, it just some of his throws were off. He's always turning the ball over. I mean, you have to count for two or three turnovers when Quinn's in the game going forward. Like he's a liability there. So I don't – it's right that Ewers is starting now. You know, he's for sure the starter. But like Sark did, on Saturday, the leash is short.
And my school is already planning for the upset.
Yes, they are. Vanderbilt has put nets up. They have put nets up around the stands. So between the obviously around the field, I should say, they put the nets up so the fans, the students, cannot rush it. They're gonna put it up for the Texas game, and they said they'll probably keep it up all the way through the year for the Tennessee game later on, just in case. Because as we've seen,
I think you got punked on this one. I don't think they actually put up netting. Because this was a tweet. This is a tweet yesterday, and I'd seen a story. Sporting News wrote something. They said, "Did Vanderbilt put up netting for Texas game?" No, Vanderbilt did not put up netting for the Texas game. The rumor is a sham, one which made the rounds on X.
All right,
let's just say they were put up. Mm-hmm. How many fans would it take to rip it down? And would they? Would fans just go to the netting, grab the netting, and rip it down and rush?
It's gotta be hard to do, I would think, right?
With how many people?
Yeah, I mean, they threw it up that quick. You can take it down that
probably
fast.
Could take it down that quick. Yeah, there's a good 45,000 fans at Vandy, right? Yeah. At a stadium there.
Well, there'll be you know, five of them Vandy fans.
I mean, it only takes
5,000 people ripped down that net.
It only takes one person, and you're in Tennessee, so it might happen. It only takes one person that carries some kind of a knife with them.
If Vandy wins, can they rip down the goalposts again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Can they? They've already beat Alabama. There's nothing better than that.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I think you can. You beat the number five. What are they, 4 or 5, Texas? Yeah, absolutely. Here's
what I want to see
from
Vandy.
You win an SEC game. You have the right to do it.
Okay, can you rush the field again? Can you rush the field and still rip down the goalposts?
If you actually rush it, not like orderly single file line, everybody like no pushing.
That
let's
was
make
just
sure
me.
COVID rules, 6 feet apart, guys, slowly.
That was me who took my time.
I want to see a stadium with Diego Pavia energy. I want all of them to channel that. And
he hasn't texted me back. I'm not happy with it. I might root for Texas.
But it's not going to happen because Texas is going to win.
Well, that's what you said last week, and you got your ass.
I believe I said Georgia by 15.
No, you
Texas
did.
Is gonna
pull the tape. Pull the tape.
It's not tape. It's a recording, Sean.
The viral Texas fan with some of the greatest hair you've ever seen.
Okay, I was wondering where this came from. I had no idea. We were Sandler and I, before Bobby left with his hissy fit, we were watching this game, but I wasn't like, I was interacting with people too at Katie Trail Outpost, Plano. It's a great place.
Sounds like it.
But I didn't see this guy.
Okay.
But I've seen his meme everywhere.
Great hair. I mean,
it's not great hair. It's stupid hair, but it's viral hair.
He looks like a golden girl. Okay, he really does. He looks like the lunch lady at school.
Now, Caitlin, this is where you would get extra
credit
points if you, just for the future, get that picture up
get
there.
Get that picture.
Get that viral hair, what we're talking about. Bam, get it right there on the fan cam for future reference.
Grant Walther is his name. Walther. I don't care for the H. Just make it Walter. We don't need the Walther. Very bad.
He looks like, you remember the movie Eraserhead?
No.
David Lynch movie. This is who he looks like. He looks like the guy from Eraser.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. Like, his hair.
I'd vote this kid for president, though, based off these quotes.
Oh, tremendous. Now, he is either going to be the most likable or most hateable kid ever
now,
after
would
this.
I be posting my vote sticker if I voted for him?
You probably would.
Well, we'll see. So
someone said, oh, you think the vote sticker means you're Democratic? That's equal to flag outside the house stereotype.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Flag in the profile pic.
Flag hanging from your house, profile pic, or the I voted sticker. It tells you exactly.
Stereotypes are stereotypes.
No doubt they are.
Thanks, Mark Cuban.
So they finally tracked him down. The Daily Mail, of all people. You had to go to the UK to track him down.
Yeah, they posted our...
Yeah, they did.
I swear, the media and Corey Majors going to get us more fired than... Really, the media going to get us more fired than Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
As the quotes were... Bobby Belt calls Jerry Jones little man. I was
little
like,
little man.
Just not accurate.
Daily Mail. Host compares Jerry Jones to Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
I was like, damn it. Damn it. And you media, that's why people hate the media.
Yeah.
But y'all spun the New York Post, you suck too.
Yeah. My sister said, you guys were the New York Times. And and my first thing to her said to her, I was like, does mom know that you have a New York Times subscription? I was like, does mom know that?
Insurrection.
Insurrection, right.
She ain't posting no sticker.
Oh, man.
College football kegger continuing here on the fan. Back
so
to the hair.
They tracked down Grant Walther, and, you know, he talked about, you know, his dad builds affordable housing for people, so I don't need the money. You know, I want to make this a charity. All right? That's very cool, dude. Right? Yeah, cool. Make this into a charity. And then he's, you know, he goes on in this video talking about what his goals are with this entire thing.
There's any chance for me to sort of link up with Texas football in any capacity and turn this into, I know Matthew McConaughey was cutting players' hair. Maybe he can cut mine on the field. I don't know. raise some money for cancer awareness. My grandmother just recently got diagnosed with breast cancer and then beat it. So I'm so happy for her. I'm more than happy to embrace it as long as people care to hear from me. As long as people want to post me on Twitter and as long as people want to interview me, I'm more than happy to accommodate. And heck, if I can turn this into a podcast, why not? All right. If I can get onto the Talk to a Podcast, I think that would be a life goal I could check off my bucket list.
Talk to a.
I was going to say, he's about to become hair Tua. He needs to slow down.
Hair Tua.
Like, this is already, I've heard too much from you already. At least talk to a girl. We had to search for
interviewed.
Her. We had to search for her for 2 weeks, though. She went and hid. She didn't come out. She's like, all right, let's plot on this. Let's figure it out. He's coming right out and go like, Matthew McConaughey, shave my head. Hawk Tua girl, please talk
he's
to me.
He's being dorky. It's too much. Listen, he's not searching for fame.
It starts off great, right? The charitable move. It's very cool. The McConaughey thing, it's like, okay, kind of asked for a little bit much here. You know, Matthew McConaughey just coming over.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. He's asking for so much. Cut my hair for cancer. Yeah, you greedy still, little punk.
It's still for a great cause.
Shut up, Bobby.
The Hawk Tua thing.
Shut up. You won't even do that for Sandler's charity.
This is the smartest.
I don't have any hair to shave.
This is the smartest thing he's doing, the Hawk Tua thing. He wants to find out if she Hawk Tua's.
Yeah.
That's right. What he wants to find out. I fully support this. This kid's going places. Sean's right. I vote for him for president.
Yeah.
With that hair. Those you got to have great hair.
You already voted though. Too bad.
I did already vote. The Saban era is long gone. Long gone. Mm. And we knew this.
That guy, the assistant coach, was having a cigar in his mouth walking into Neyland Stadium.
Walking into Neyland Stadium.
I said Saban would have taken that cigar, shoved it up his candy ass.
Absolutely would have. And now they are refocusing on the small things. They are getting back to shirts tucked in.
Here we go.
5 minutes to 10 minutes early for meetings. Not being late. Because if you're not early, what are you, Bobby?
You're late. What if you're actually late? What are you then?
You.
You should
then
be fired.
You. Then you're you.
Yeah.
But so,
I'm a verb.
Saban was one of the things that everybody, you got to have your shirt. If you're a player, tuck your shirts in because they don't want people like try to tackle you. Grab your shirt and be able to tackle you.
Yeah.
And then being early, not on time, but early.
And they had a problem with Kalen DeBoer. He's not wearing a collared shirt.
He's not wearing a collared shirt.
And what are these fadeaway jumpers?
Okay, so if you watch the game on a QB sneak at the goal line, two Alabama, and it may have been in like a fourth and one anyway, the two Alabama wide receivers are over in the corner taking fadeaway jump shots, like air jumpers. Would that have ever happened in Nick Saban's world? And the answer is no.
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 Are they doing it for like a fake, a Tebow fake reason?
It's just flair.
Never would have happened.
The OC was like, yeah, man, there's nothing we don't coach on this team.
AJ McCarron trashed Bama. His exact quote, he said, everybody's worried about bleeping TikTok. Says it's a different era. When AJ McCarron, who is about the sloppiest Alabama homer there is saying this is a mess, you know it's a mess.
Is this the most gettable that San Francisco has been? Let's preview the 49ers with Cowboys color analyst Babe Laufenberg next. Let's preview San Francisco with Dallas Cowboys color analyst Babe Laufenberg on the D&M Leasing Hotline, and he had a tweet that said, have done a lot of studying and game film review, and I think I have fixed the Cowboys run game, run D, wide receiver routes, the owner's radio show, and, well, the list is exhaustive. Let's dive into it with Babe Laufenberg right now on The Fan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. And as you know, I should say, that photo was taken when I was fly fishing on a river in Colorado.
So, well, holy crap, is this beautiful.
Yeah, how much I have really fixed, I'm not quite sure.
Oh, you're like McCarthy saying you watch every piece of game tape.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know what's funny though? McCarthy yesterday talked about in his presser the game that they look at. The game to look at is a game from last year. And on my little 3-day sojourn to Colorado, I did look at last year's tape of the game. I told him. I said, "Hey, I'm one step ahead of you."
But how much does that actually help with the injury list on both sides?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it's totally different. But here's kind of the bottom line. Shanahan's offense is going to be Shanahan's offense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be tweaks, and obviously they're missing people at the wide receiver position, and so they're not going to be targeting certain things in their offense. But the offense remains the same. It's not like you say, well, we may not have Debo, and we lost Brandon Ayuk, so now we're going to run Baltimore's offense, and we're going to run read option or whatever the heck it is. So a lot of it remains the same. Defensively is interesting. You know, they've got their fourth coordinator in 5 years.
Yeah.
And so Nick Sorensen's a first-time, you know, coordinator for not just for them. I mean, in the league. So You know, you only have the first six games to go on. They've been beat up a little bit at their defensive tackle position. But again, I do think the principles of who you're playing remain the same, no matter which players are going to be out there.
Your buddy is Troy Aikman. We all know what he said about CeeDee Lamb and the wide receiver routes. Do you agree?
What did he say? I was in Colorado.
He said, you know, they're kind of lazy coming off the line and so on and so forth. Did you see the same thing? Are you seeing the same?
Well, let me just say I have a lot of respect for Troy. I know how hard he works. I know how much he puts into it. I know how much he looks at everything in the league and tape. And he's a very smart guy. He's won three Super Bowls as a quarterback.
Yeah.
So I think his comments carry weight. He doesn't just flippantly throw something out there.
Yeah.
I do know that. Are they a good route running team? No. And I've said that. I've said that on our pregame show. And you know, it's not a great route running team. They don't have great route runners. The best route runner is Brandon Cooks, and he got nine balls thrown to him or nine catches in the first four games. But that doesn't mean you can't be effective. And route runners, too, they tend to be quicker guys. Mm-hmm. If I were, and I do, I coach some receivers a little bit, just help out. And I would say, look, go watch Cooper Kupp. If you want to learn to run pass patterns, go watch Cooper Kupp tape. Because to me, he's the best. The way he comes off the – you talk about lazy coming off the ball. You guys have seen him. I mean, he's 100 miles an hour on his first step.
Yeah.
And it's not because he runs 4.4.
Yep.
Matter of fact, he ran 4.62 at the combine. But to me, that's the guy you're looking at. But here's one, Sean. You're old enough to remember Art Monk. I mean, watch him play.
Number 81, the posse.
Yeah.
Ah, the compiler.
Oh,
yes, the Marv Levy of the Hall of Fame.
Oh, God.
Somebody else doesn't belong in.
But, you know, set the single season record. I think when he retired, he had the most receptions of any receiver, I think. But anyway, Hall of Famer. And, you know, I was up there with Art. Matter of fact, we share a birthday, even though he's a little older.
Wow.
But, you wouldn't call him a great route runner, but he was a great receiver. But Art was a big guy. He was 6'2", 6'3". He was a running back in college. And he was a physical receiver, you know, especially for that time. But Art wasn't a great route runner, but, man, he was a great receiver. And so there are ways to get it done, I guess what I'm saying, without being that guy that gets in and out of his breaks.
Jerry Jones came. Go ahead.
Very quickly, too, I don't mean to, but you haven't seen any separation, right? I mean, it's funny because people are talking about Dak and, oh, he's not having a good year and he's this and he's that. Name me the guys that he's missed, right? Name me the open receiver where you say, wow, Dak missed that guy. I mean, there have been a couple, but every ball is contested. And that's just a hard way to make a living.
Babe Laufenberg here with us every Thursday at 8:40. Jerry Jones also said on Tuesday, our plays, our concepts, we're not calling all the right ones. Many people took that as a shot at Mike McCarthy. This was McCarthy's response yesterday.
Don't really have one. You know, I talk to Jerry all the time. You know, we've had time to go through the self-scout. So I can't really, I didn't see the comments specifically. So, but I don't think we have bad concepts in that place, but I'll go back and check.
What did you make of that?
What I really loved was McCarthy ended it, and I was out there yesterday when he said, but I'll go back and check.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, sure you will, Mike.
Yeah.
Let me go see. You know, hey, it's different here, right? I mean, I don't think the owner in Green Bay ever commented on his offensive schemes, did he?
Well, they don't have
they
an
don't
owner.
They don't have an owner.
Oh, they don't have an owner. Okay, so he didn't have to deal. Okay, well, that. No, I'll let those. I'll let you guys can talk to the owner on what, Friday?
KNC will, yeah.
Tuesday.
Tomorrow. Okay, yeah, they can clear all that up. I'll let him speak for himself.
But conceptually, you don't think it's a big issue, like Mike's offense?
Well, are there things I would change? Yes. Are there things anyone would change, right? Yes. Are there things the fans would like to change? Yes. It was the number one offense in the NFL last year. So they scored more points than anybody. I don't know if you go from being number one to being, boy, we gotta revamp everything. But you constantly, and Coach McCarthy talks about this, you're constantly tweaking and self-scouting and seeing, hey, are we getting stale? Are we doing the same things out of the same formation? So, that, you know, that's all going on over there. And I always say, you know, they've got, hey, Brian Schottenheimer has been a coordinator in the NFL and play caller for a number of years. Scott Tolzien was an NFL quarterback himself. He's coaching the quarterbacks. So they got a lot of people over there looking at how to try to fix this thing. The one thing I would say, and I said it last year when they were in that six-game run, to me, Dak plays a little robotic at times. I would tell Dak, you go back to your days at Houghton High School in Louisiana and just go play. Go out and play. Go have fun. Be a little freewheeling. Let's go. Because to me, again, I feel like Dak is playing a little robotic. And I said it last year when they were struggling early on. So, again, I'd love to see Dak just go out, throw it around a little bit, have fun. I don't mean throw it indiscriminately and, you know, just throw caution to the wind, but just play a little looser.
Yeah.
Babe Laufenberg joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. This segment is brought to you by A Number One Air. Babe, you mentioned there, you said there are things you'd want to change about the offense. You know there are things the fans do. We hear maybe the owner has some things. Do you think there's things the players want to change as well?
Oh, sure. I mean, there always is, especially when you're struggling. I always say, hey, back when I played, the players, you know, that you have that Monday meeting after a loss on Sunday, right? And the head coach says, we're all in this together, and we're going to fix this. It's on us. It's on me. It's on blah, blah, blah. And then you break, and the coaches go into the coaches' room, and they bitch about the players. Geez, can you believe? You believe Bobby Belt? That guy, we went over it 1,000 times. My fault, because we didn't go over it 1,001. The guy's going to get us fired. The players go in and say, seriously, 3rd and 6? And we're running 525 F post when they'd already stuffed it 3 times above. You know? So there's always going to be that element when things go bad, of course. And they're not bad. Hey, they're 3-3. I'm not like the perpetual optimist or anything, but they're 3-3.
Yeah.
San Francisco, in 2 of the last 3 years, they've been 3-4 to start the season. In both those years, they went to the NFC Championship game. They were 3-4 in 21, 3-4 in 22. Both years they went to the NFC Championship game. So I hate the notion that 3-3, cash in the season. Hey, and I know Washington 5-2, playing well, all that. Nobody's going to run away with this division, right? I mean, in my mind. And so the notion that you're 3-3, and if you lose this one, you're out of it. It's like Alabama. If they lose another game, they are out of the championship hunt, okay? But you're not out of the hunt, even if you lose to San Francisco. But I don't recommend it.
Babe Laufenberg joins us here at 105 Through the Fan. Where do you stand on Brock Purdy? It seems like it's a big conversation around the league. Are they going to pay him? Are they not? Gavin Dawson at camp said he's 10% better than Brian Hoyer. Where are you on Purdy?
Gavin Dawson said he's 10%. Was Gavin Dawson say he's 10% better? Or Purdy's 10% better?
Purdy is 10%
better. Oh, okay. No. Big fan. And you can say all you want about the players around him. And yes, he does have great players around him. Joe Montana had maybe the greatest wide receiver in the history of the NFL. Troy Aikman had some pretty good players around him. As a quarterback, obviously, you need that. But I've got the numbers. I wish I had them for you right now. But Shanahan without Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
He was like.
Yeah. Nick 10 Mullins.
And 10-30. Mm. And I mean, Mullins, Beathard, the list goes on and on. Without Garoppolo. Garoppolo got there and they started winning. And so the notion that Shanahan's offense plug anybody in, no. And I've got, you know, you've got the numbers to prove it. Again, he was like 10-30. And then Purdy gets there, and all of a sudden, everything picks up. He's a really good quarterback. And here's always the bottom line for me. Brock Purdy were a first-round draft pick, 5th pick in the draft. We wouldn't even think about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because he was a 7th-rounder, everybody is looking for holes. I mean, he's been fantastic. Now, he's not a Josh Allen. He's not a guy that's going to run around, beat you, throw the ball 100 miles an hour. But man, he's, you know, I'm a big fan. Now this is not a shot at Dak, okay? So, but if you told me Brock Purdy's my quarterback, and I, you know, I was a GM, I was an owner, I was a head coach, I was an offensive coordinator, and you said, hey, Brock Purdy's going to be your quarterback. I said, I'll take that. We can win with that.
Would you like to squeeze in trivia quickly to finish out this week?
Okay, sure. We started. Christian McCaffrey, we know he won't play. He'll be back shortly, but he led the NFL in scrimmage yards last year, right, receiving, rushing. And he did it for the second team. Did it in Carolina in 2019, did it for San Francisco. Only two other players in NFL history have led the league in scrimmage yards, for two different teams. Well, two different teams.
That's a good one.
That's a very good one.
I told Bobby he's got to sit out and let you guys answer first.
Why, you know it already?
No, I just have a guess, but he wants you guys to answer first.
Because Bobby gets them. Bobby gets them.
Clinton Portis, one of them?
Ooh.
No, good guess. Good guess.
Guess, Bob.
Ricky Waters and Marshall Faulk.
You got one and not the other. Marshall Faulk.
Curtis Martin.
Let's see if Peyton knows.
So this guy also played for the Rams. Eric Dickerson is the other one. Eric Dickerson and Marshall Faulk.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, that's a good one.
Both Rams and Colts.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Really good one.
Dickerson played for the L.A. Rams. Marshall Faulk played for the St. Louis Rams.
Yes. Hey, great stuff, brother. Have a fantastic trip. Babe Loffenberg, Cowboys color analyst on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Robert Saleh is back coaching. The number one quarterback you want to have a beer with, and an update on if Eli is still alive for the Hall of Fame. Final hour, Thursday edition of Sean and RJ, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.